When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs, the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is grave robbers, the plot to steal Abraham Lincoln's corpse. What do you think about that, Brandy?
That sounds like an adventure.
Yes, yes. Of course, the colonel's very versed in grave robbing. I'm sure he'll have a lot to add.
I have robbed a grave or two of my time, but in fairness to me, some people have been buried with my shit.
You know, there's someone on our Facebook group that has asked for this thing like, you know, 50 times, and I've had the script for a long time, but we've never recorded it. So it's a good story though. It's funny cause it's kind of a Keystone's Cop type of an adventure, of which we are very familiar on this podcast.
Speaking of podcasts, I don't know why they would want Abraham Lincoln's grave when they could have got like Millard Fillmore.
I'm going to tell you what we're going to tell them why. But Colonel, I listened to Spy Stories this morning, and I must say it was very good. Karen does a wonderful job, but you interrupt too much. That's my only kind of shocking.
Well, yes. You know, sometimes the girl gets just a little off point. I mean, I got to bring her back in.
No, she was pretty much on point the whole podcast, and you kind of kept interrupting. I'm like, let me hear the fucking story, so I can relate to our listeners who tune into this, Brandy,
right?
To hear this story. But anyway, Spy Stories is really good. If you haven't listened to it, check it out. It's on iTunes. Check it out. Leave them a review and mention that Chuck talks too much. Okay, let's...
Timmy, that reminds me of the parable of the elephant and the hummingbird, Timmy.
Okay, so Brandy, we're talking about Abraham Lincoln's body today. So I guess the colonel is going to talk in parables the whole show. Are you looking forward to that?
No, not at all. Because he talks in parables throughout his life.
No. Him and Abraham Lincoln, they're the only two people who've ever done that.
And when you hear a parable over and over and over all week, when you just ask a question like, hey, what's going on?
And then he goes into this long story. And it has no, but at least Abraham Lincoln's had a point to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was exhausting.
Slavery or the Union or something. Yeah. But Chuck's never goes anywhere. It's like
I'm already tired, and we haven't started.
You know that scene in Animal House where the marching band goes into the dead end alley? That is the colonel's parable. See, that was a parable. How do you like that?
It was a parable, and I just got one for you, Devil. And it's the parable of the cup of coffee. Now there was a group of alumni from. They were highly established in their careers, and they got together to visit an old professor. And the conversation turned into complaints about stress and work. And the professor offered these people some guests, and they went to the kitchen and returned with a large pot of coffee and an assortment of cups, porcelain, plastic, glass, crystal, some plain-looking, some expensive. Now, when all the students had a cup of coffee in hand, the professor said, if you had noticed, all the nice looking books have been taking up, leaving behind the
paying teachers. Oh my God.
He might have a point here. Go ahead, Colonel. We're going to follow it. Does this have a point?
Well, it's more for you to want the best. Yes, it does. I'm trying to show the devil. I'm trying to improve the devil's life so she's less bitter. So he said, while it's normal for you to want the best for yourself.
You yammering
is
not going
to
help that. So go ahead, Colonel. Go ahead. I'm vested in this now, Brandy. Go ahead, Colonel.
He said,
you're vested. God, yeah. It doesn't take much, does it?
Be assured that the cup has no quality to the coffee.
He's got a
life
point.
Life is like the coffee. The job, the money, everything. They're just tools to hold and contain our life. Our life is like the cup of coffee. And if you have an expensive cup or a plastic cup, it's still all about the coffee.
If he's going to be fucking Yoda this whole time, I'm getting off of this fucking call. I cannot.
Now, see, you're
today. I cannot do it.
The quick one of the old Cherokee parable of the two.
No, see, shut the fuck up. Wait, what is say
no.
That?
No.
You know
I haven't even introduced you fuckers yet. So let me introduce you.
You know what you haven't? Can I tell the devil what you got in her?
But
you got two wolves, devil. One is evil.
They're both evil.
and then the other one, well, it's evil. And do you know which one fight? And do you know which one wins, devil? This is old Cherokee parable.
Matter. It doesn't matter.
It's the one you feed, and quit feeding the evil devil. Quit feeding the evil in you.
Then they both die.
I haven't even introduced you guys yet. Let me introduce her first, Colonel. Then you can bring out your book of parables that you can read from. I am very honored to introduce a lady who needs no introduction, a lady who's known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
Timmy, I'm not good.
No.
Oh, well, there's a surprise. You know why? Because you're worried about the cup your coffee's in, devil. Just enjoy the coffee, goddammit.
Well, Timmy, I'm not good.
What's wrong, Brandy?
I've been up a long time today, Timmy. A long, long, long time today.
Why were you up
it's
so
spring
long?
Spring break. I don't know why. My child doesn't want to sleep. Yeah.
Oh,
we were
he's
up
off
five.
All week. He's off all week.
Yeah, it's spring break.
Well, you'll get to spend time with him and bond and that sort of thing.
No, I'm working. Mm. Thank Jesus.
I figured you would take time off to spend with your child.
You don't know me at all.
I know. I was just giving you. I thought you might want to say
it's
that.
It's like
for
you
the
don't
podcast.
Know me at all. No,
they might want to say
no.
it for the podcast and make you sound like a good parent, but.
Look, if I spent the whole week with him, nobody would like that. Nobody comes out on top. Nobody, nothing.
No, I know this is Brandy time, Colonel, but what's your thoughts on parenting, Colonel?
Well, if I had a week off
like
with my children,
of chocolates?
I would, Timmy, well, if children, Timmy.
No, your children begged
well,
you to go to work.
Reminds me of the parable of the businessman and the Greek fisherman.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Is this Cats in the Cradle?
He sleeps
is this
a little,
in the Cradle?
It is, kind of. I sleep late. I fish a little. I play with my children. I take a nap. I stroll into the village where I sip some wine and play guitar with my friends.
There's some deep meaning in there, Brandy, but I'm not sure what it is.
You'd have to dig for it. But
speaking of Cats in the Cradle, okay?
Yeah.
You know, he gives his son the car keys. All his son wants is the fucking car keys. You know, I think that's being a good parent. He's giving him the car keys. Why does he have to complain about that, Randy?
And a six-pack. Here you go.
I didn't know he asked.
A six-pack of Bud with you.
I didn't know he asked.
Because Chuck is a bitcher.
Let me introduce a man who is...
I don't know why people think he's the funniest.
Well, he's
known. I don't know why people think he's the funniest.
Well, he's known.
You're ugly
in
the morning, devil.
He's known.
I know.
He's been called an oasis, Brandy, in the desert of despair. A man that we look to in these trying times. A man who is considered the moral compass of the podcast. The Yoda of podcasting. The very honorable. And there's a movement afoot to get him promoted to... What do they want to promote you to, Colonel? To a count, Brandy.
Count Colonel.
You know
count
what? Colonel. How about a foot up his ass? How about that?
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. Colonel, maybe we could call you Count. Maybe it could be like a count that they just, a bereaved count, like when they're in the Army and they just promote you during times of war. You could be like that, Colonel.
That would work for me, Timmy.
Okay.
And other name that Stephen Potts has given me, because he listens to the show regularly, and he was talking among some fellow dweebs and other people in the podcast world, but he said, you're basically the mailman of podcasting.
Why would he why?
You always deliver. Why? He said, you should be the mailman because you always deliver.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
No. Bullshit.
You know, Brandy time went by so quickly.
It really did.
It did.
And it's amazing.
It really did.
It still seemed like we spent too long on it.
So, chat time's over.
So, should we go into the story? Make our listeners happy, our four listeners happy. Let's talk about
the people who don't like the banter, Timmy. We should tell you, okay, if you don't like bad language, get the fuck out of here, okay? We got to tell you that first. That's our disclaimer. Just get the fuck on out of here, all right? Go to your Tupperware party tonight or whatever you got going on.
Tupperware party?
I don't know. You can't cuss at Tupperware parties, apparently. It's a rule. They put it in the bylaws.
So you got thrown out of a Tupperware party is what you're telling us.
I did. Apparently, there's no fornicating at a Tupperware party.
They get mad when you, pee in the Tupperware.
Fornicate with yourself.
They do.
Well.
Hey.
I mean, someone's got to do it, Brandy.
There's nothing like a good... Well, it's like that young Frankenstein. When you're fornicating alone. I mean, really. Who knows you like sex toys, really? Right. And who loves me like I do?
No one. No one at all.
Yeah. So if I'm gonna make
absolutely
sweet,
nobody.
If I'm gonna make sweet love to me, the partner that I'm gonna choose is myself.
Mm. You can't hold hands with God if you're masturbating, Colonel.
That's true. You know, to me, now just real quickly, this reminds me of the parable of the one-armed Judah.
He's the only one that listens to himself. That's the problem.
Yeah.
He can't shut up enough to get somebody to fornicate with him.
Although this one, I think they should have kicked this kid out of the tournament because it was... So this 10-year-old boy wanted to...
Can we please talk about
judo.
Stealing Abraham Lincoln's corpse?
This is an important one, Devil. It's important, Brandy.
It's, you know, the amount of shit that comes out of his face that's important you could fit in a thimble.
So if you would listen to me, maybe you'd learn.
I know. No.
Okay, Colonel, quickly, Colonel. Go ahead.
This is a quick one. 10-year-old boy wants to study judo, despite the fact that he lost his left arm in a devastating car accident, Timmy.
Devastating car accident, Brandy.
He's looked up parables.
So he went
He's Googled parables.
And he goes to his Japanese master. The boy was doing well.
Mm-hmm. And he struck
But he couldn't understand why after 3 months of training, the master only taught him one move. Mm-hmm. And the master said, it's the only move you're going to be able to do. You only got one arm. But he believed in the teacher. So several months later, the sensei took the boy to the first tournament, Uh-huh. And the boy easily won his first two matches. Mm-hmm. Now, the third match proved to be a little bit more difficult, but after some time, his opponent became impatient, charged. The boy definitely used his one arm and won the match. Now, the boy's amazed by his success, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this time, his opponent was bigger, stronger, more experienced, and for a while, the boy appeared to be overmatched.
I feel like this.
The boy might get hurt. The referee called a timeout. Mm-hmm. And the sensei said, you are going to let them continue. And he beat the bigger boy, and he was the champion. And on the way home, the boy and the sensei reviewed every move in every match. And the boy summoned up the courage to ask what was really on his mind. He said to the sensei, how did I win this tournament with only one move? And the sensei said, you won for two reasons. First, you've almost mastered one of the most difficult throws in all of judo. Mm-hmm. And second, the only defense for that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm. The boy's biggest weakness has become his best strength. Now, what I would like to see on this podcast, Devil.
Are you fucking kidding?
Our greatest weakness turn into one of our greatest strengths. So do
that
you
was
think
the goddamn lesson, Hopper. What would you consider our
greatest
weakness? Fucking kidding.
Our greatest
weakness
is ill nature, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's
so
it.
So maybe we could turn that into our greatest strength, and
it's
it would help the podcast. We have more
flapping.
Than 72 listeners.
Okay, Carl, well, thank you.
Maybe
for that.
We could get put on the local news like some of the other podcasts are doing. Maybe
we'd have to do something good.
Podcast.
You right, think we could get a wiki page? Because I just want a wiki page. That's all I want in life.
Well, Chuck's probably in charge of that too. So, no, we can't.
Not in charge of getting us a wiki page.
So, Brandy, it's almost like we're in.
Coming along.
Brandy, it's almost like we're in a room with Abraham Lincoln with the colonel and his parables.
Yeah, it's not like that at all.
Brandy, have you ever wondered why the Secret Service, an agency established to investigate counterfeiters, you ever wonder why how they become responsible for protecting the President of the United States?
No.
Well, if
but
you
tell
have,
me about it anyway.
If you have wondered, the story is going to shed some light on it because we're an educational podcast, Colonel. Everyone can take something away from this podcast and use it in their daily lives. Abraham Lincoln.
Now, listen up, Devil. You might learn something. We are an educational podcast.
For fuck's sake.
We're going to put, we need to be moved to the educational channel in iTunes, Timmy.
We really do.
No, we don't. No.
Now, listen up. You might learn something.
You know, if there was a podcast, a category of banter,
we'd be there.
We'd be there, but we'd still suck. Abraham Lincoln was one of the most celebrated and beloved presidents in U.S. history, Brandy. His assassination in April of 1865 sent the nation into mourning and was followed by a two-week funeral tour by train car. The funeral... I would like a procession when I leave this coil. Can you arrange that, Colonel? Can you arrange a tour?
Timmy,
he can't arrange a YouTube channel. He can't arrange his furniture. He cannot arrange anything.
I would like a funeral train procession throughout Dweeb Nation. Can you arrange
Timmy,
that, Colonel?
It's going to be better than that. I've got 8 Irish stallions, Timmy, all lined up. Now, not those fake Irish stallions that come from England and have, you know, Irish last names. These are real Irish stallions, Timmy.
Hmm. You know, you got them lined up already? I mean, I'm not even sick.
Well, you won't buy a book of stamps.
Yeah,
you can go at any time.
You can't be too careful with this stuff, not Timmy.
Hmm. Well, thank you, Colonel, for taking the initiative there.
Irish stallions get booked up quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And he got a Groupon.
Well,
I did get a Groupon, Timmy. How long do you think it will be before you go, Timmy? Just
hopefully a long time, Colonel. I don't even have a cough.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, do you have the over under on that yet?
Yeah.
We need to start the dead.
I am a Baron. Show some respect.
Well, Timmy, now. Dottie's doing pretty well, and she's in good health.
Mm-hmm.
And your father did pretty well for a long, long time.
Yeah, until he died.
until he died, but mm-hmm. My father
lived to be 87. My mom's 87 now, so I should live to be like 112
or 87.
Your father was one of those World War II guys, Jimmy, wasn't he?
He was. He served in World War II.
Wait a minute. But what we're not taking into account is that Timmy runs into cars as he's walking.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, they
we're can, not taking that.
Well, so, anyway, I want a funeral train procession, Colonel, through Dweeb Nation. If you can arrange that for me, I would appreciate it. Otherwise, this is a morbid conversation because
You could get by tonight and the Pips to be there, that'd be great.
Well, I hope I outlive them. They're like 100 now. But anyway,
I don't know.
Let's go back to Abraham Lincoln, shall we? His assassination in April of 1865, you remember that, Brandy, sent a nation into mourning.
The fuck?
And it was followed by a 2-week funeral tour by train. He took the tour that he took to his inauguration, 4 years before that. He took the same route home. He went to 10 cities, Brandy, and they had ceremonies in 10 cities where they removed his coffin and his remains were viewed in Baltimore, Harrisburg, Philadelphia, New York City, Albany, Buffalo, Cleveland, up there with Karen. I wonder if Karen was there for that. Columbus, Cebus, as those of us who hang out in Columbus call it. Indianapolis and Chicago. So he didn't come to Cincinnati. So if you want to see.
Does the bus run to Columbus, Timmy?
It wasn't a bus. It was a train. So if you
want. No, I'm saying, does your bus run to Columbus?
No, I just take a metro. C-Bus, yeah.
I know.
That's why all of us cool people hang out.
C-Bus.
High Street.
It's like the Natty.
Yeah.
C-Bus and the Natty.
Mean Mr. Mustard's, Brandy.
What?
Have you ever been to Mean Mr. Mustard's in Columbus?
Yes, C-Bus. I have. Okay. I have.
They used to have AC/DC night on Sundays. I always thought it was the group, rock group, but it wasn't. It was something else. So anyway, where was I at? Oh, the funeral train procession traveled more than 1,600 miles. You'll get that later. And visited some 400 cities and towns before the great emancipator was laid to rest. Well, kind of laid to rest in his hometown of Springfield, Illinois. Have you ever been in Springfield, Colonel?
I've been there.
Of course he has.
I've been there.
If you ever get a chance to go to Springfield, really check it out because it's really cool. They have Lincoln's, there's a little area of town. It's with Lincoln's house, and it's set up just like it was in, before he, in 1860, before he went to Washington. It's really a cool thing to visit. So if you ever get a chance to visit it, I would recommend it. But anyway, what's the chirping? I hear chirping in the background. Are one of you chirping? Do one of you have a bird?
Timmy, I'm much like Cinderella, Timmy. Walking to Snow White, walking through the forest. The animals
Cinderella.
Follow me and just tweet, 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 tweet. That's just the birds like that the fly fucking, around me all the time.
It's a fucking song of the South in this house.
Yeah.
Lincoln's body did not find its rest at the end of this procession, Brandy. Everyone from thieves to politicians tried to take control of his remains, even decades after it was finally buried. This is the macabre tale of the journeys taken by Lincoln's corpse over the decades before 1901, when it was at last laid to rest in a 10-foot block made of cement and steel. You think they're going to have to bury my body in some sort of cement and steel to keep out the grave robbers, Charles?
I think they probably will, Timmy, because as people know, you are the godfather of Cunnilingus. And when you die, much like Mickey Rasputin, Mantle. And they wanted to, the Mickey Mantle, they want to, you're going to be like Rasputin, Timmy. You know how
wouldn't it be ironic, Brandy, number? If I died of throat cancer? Wouldn't that be
you
ironic?
Got the HPV all up in there, and it started to eat into your tissue. But anyway, that's what you got to worry about, Timmy.
Thank you.
You got to worry about people coming in and cutting out your body parts.
He's right, Brandy. I'm like a Rasputin.
Mm-hmm. Like Rasputin. They want Timmy's amazing member, but your amazing member is your Mickey Mantle thing to me.
Yes. My tongue, I guess. President Lincoln was shot at Force Theater, Brandy, on April 15th, 1865.
I hadn't heard that.
After he was shot, his body was taken to the Peterson boarding home across the street from Ford's Theater, where the president clung to life several hours before succumbing to his injuries the following morning.
He was a tough bastard. You take a shot in the back of your head like that and live forever.
He had a top hat, you know. You know his top hat, I'm reading a biography on him now. You know his top hat was 23 inches tall, Brandy? You could put a small family in there.
You could.
The closer to God.
Anyway, after he died, his body was removed from the Peterson boarding house where he died. He died on Saturday morning, April 15th, 1865, and he was carried to a guest room in the northeast corner of the second floor of the White House. It was there that Army Assistant Surgeons J. Jarnavier Woodward and Edward Curtis did the autopsy, Brandy.
I always wondered why'd they carry him up the steps? They had to, but he was the goddamn president. You can't clear out a room on the first floor.
Well, you know, it kind of gets away for all the, you know, visitors. You know, they have to walk around a dead body. People don't like that.
It's bad for business.
It's unsightly.
Got a corpse in the lobby.
Yeah. It is unsightly. And he was tall, so, I mean, he took up a lot of space.
Yeah. He did take up a lot of space.
You don't get a good Yelp review if there's a dead body in the middle of the room.
She's got a point. Dr. Woodward, you know, they should create like a Yelp for government services. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create that app and make a fortune. Dr. Woodward proceeded to open the head and remove Lincoln's brain. They was trying to find the bullet, right? The ball. Not finding it easily, they proceeded to remove Lincoln's entire brain. And when he lifted the brain from the cavity of the skull, suddenly the bullet dropped out and fell. And it went into like a little, you know, basin, water basin.
Here's the thing. Like, why? You know what killed him. Why are you just splitting his head open now and taking it out?
Well, you know, they still do.
I assume it's in the middle of the guest room at the northeast corner.
But it's still a murder, right? I mean, it's still a crime.
You know what did it. They didn't have, like, forensics.
Well, you have to have for the caliper and whatever. I mean, it could have been Mrs. Lincoln for all we know.
Well, right. At this point, they don't even know who the assassin was. I guess they had a pretty good idea, but they still had to gather evidence.
It was that guy who leaped off and said, "Sic semper tyrannis."
Yes, it was John Wilkes
Booth. Leg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he should have said his Latin for "I broke my leg, Colonel." That's what he should have said.
I think it's holy as fuck us.
All right,
this hurts.
Chuck's grasp of Latin is amazing.
It's on par with his parables, Brandy.
No, yes.
Anyway, after the autopsy was complete, they made an incision in Lincoln's. Another doctor made an incision or an embalmer. They had a master embalmer. So,
yeah. How'd you make that job?
Then when was that? Did it say that on his business card? Master embalmer? Yeah.
I don't know.
He wasn't just your, you know, run-of-the-mill embalmer. He was a master embalmer.
And he wasn't a Padawan.
His name was Henry
P. Padawan embalmer.
His name was Henry P. Cottrell. His friends called him Hank, Brandy.
Yeah, of course they did.
They made an incision in Lincoln's right upper thigh and pumped in zinc chloride, giving the president an appearance of a marble sculpture, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
What if that's him sitting in the chair in the Lincoln Memorial?
Well, he was not that tall.
You don't know that. You weren't there.
Mm.
He was a vampire killer. They had to make sure he was really dead. Because Lincoln was a hypochondriac through his life. And often he would say,
when they put the embalming fluid in him, that was pretty much sealed the deal there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like every other day, Lincoln was talking about being dead. It much reminds me of the parable of the boy who cried wolf. And we all know that.
No. Yes, we do. So shut up about it.
I'm dead. So they finally had to take out his brain to really realize that he was truly dead. And then they shot him full of zinc oxide and said, okay, this time he's really dead.
As a final touch, Brandy.
Zinc oxide.
Master embalmer, Hank Cottrell, set Lincoln's mouth in a slight smile. And then dressed him in his Brooks Brothers suit. He just had his suit that he had wore on his second inauguration, which had just happened the previous month. So he didn't get a new suit to be buried in, but he did get to use, he only wore it once, so it's almost a new suit. While workers went to work on building a platform that would hold Lincoln's coffin in the east room of the White House, Lincoln was moved to a newly built solid walnut coffin. By the evening of Monday, April 17th, President Lincoln was ready for his first official viewing. And on Tuesday, the 18th of April, more than 25,000 people, Brandy, passed by his coffin to pay their respects. I would like to lay in state, Colonel. Can you make that happen?
It's already arranged, Timmy. I already talked to the president. He has pre-approved it, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Now, you know, later on, he's going to say, I never really liked him, but I let him have the funeral in him, and I didn't get a thank you. But now, Timmy, here's an interesting thing.
Yes.
Where do you think the chair?
I doubt it.
That Lincoln was sitting in when he was shot. It's in a famous national place, but not where you would think. Where do you think it is, Timmy?
I think it's Ford's Theater.
It is in Ford's Theater, and I have seen that chair.
Well, that's wonderful, but I think everyone would have thought that it was there. Why would you think it's anywhere else?
No, it's in Ford's Theater in Detroit, Timmy. That's what's confusing. Ford has a theater, a museum in Detroit. That's a true thing.
Okay.
Henry Ford has a big in Dearborn, Michigan.
It's not in Ford's Theater in Washington D.C. It's in Henry Ford's museum.
Henry Ford's Theater in
that is
in Dearborn,
also
Michigan.
Where Kennedy's car is.
I feel dumber for having heard that.
See, you're not open to new knowledge. He's dropping
some knowledge on us, Brandy.
Yeah, it's like the parable of the two wolves. You got two ignorant wolves inside.
First of all,
you
quit saying wolves.
Two ignorant wolves.
What
two
did he say, Brandy?
Wolves.
Wolves. You got.
I must say,
wolves.
When you pick on someone mispronouncing words, I kind of like that, as long as it's not me.
Yeah. There's a lot to get to.
So there was a private viewing later that Tuesday evening on the 18th. And then at 10 minutes past noon on Wednesday, Lincoln's funeral service began. Following the two-hour service, they closed the lid on Lincoln in preparation for his funeral procession that led to the Capitol, where thousands more would shuffle past to view his coffin. On Friday morning, April 21st, this is what, 6 days after he died, his body was escorted to the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad train station for his long journey back home to Springfield, Illinois.
Go with him?
You know what? I don't know. They had his son, I think she perhaps did. They had his son on the train, you know, his son Willie that had died. Well, I'll get to that in a second. You're jumping ahead. President Lincoln's body then was embarked on a two-week, 1,600-mile journey by train. And he did not make the tour alone. The body of his son, Willie Lincoln, who died in 1862 of typhoid fever when he was just 11 years old. He died in the White House. His son's body made the trip back with him. So they exhumed Willie's body, and Willie and his father made the tour. Now, as I said, it went to 10 different, they were viewing in 10 different cities, although the train went through 400 cities in small towns on the way home. The tour gave the country a final chance to mourn one of its most beloved and youngest presidents. I think he was 56 when he died, which is kind of weird. You know, it's kind of weird.
He looks 100 years old.
I know.
All the time.
He really aged in the 4 years that he was president, but it makes me, you know, he was younger than me because I'm older now than he was when he died. That's always kind of freaky. But anyway, you're almost that age as well, Brandy. The train made a snake-like tour.
No, I'm not.
It went through 400 train stations, and a lot of small towns and things, people just went out to the train station, right, to say goodbye, pay their respects. But in the larger cities like Philadelphia, New York, in the cities I mentioned earlier, they stopped and actually had viewings. And they arrived at the Oak Ridge Cemetery in Springfield, Illinois, on May 3rd, 1865. So a couple weeks had gone by, Brandy, by the time he left Washington, time he arrived home in Illinois.
Well, he went on a two-week tour.
Yeah, well, the body started decaying. Oh, I'll get to that in a minute. An extensive schedule of a public viewing coincided with the train journey, as I said. And Lincoln's body was on display in 10 cities. The method allowed hundreds of thousands of people to pay their last respects. Lincoln's body was kept in a special funeral car that was refrigerated. But it began to decay by the time they got to New York City, and viewers, you know, they started to notice the decay and were disturbed by
it. And smell it. Yeah.
And Lincoln was a well-endowed man, Timmy. I don't know. Now, you've heard the stories of Lyndon Johnson and the bombing of Hanoi and Cambodia.
God.
Why did you do this? Lincoln. So, Lincoln is a little known fact because
finish the Johnson's story because people won't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so Johnson had done some illegal bombing and he was with an informal session with a reporter and they asked him why he bombed it. And Johnson proceeded to unzip his pants and drop his prodigious member onto the table, point to it, and said, "That is why I bombed them."
So basically, well,
what people don't know, Timmy, what people do not know is when we
attacked Fort Sumter
to start the Civil War, people asked Lincoln, "Don't you know what
Lincoln did not do the same thing?
Why did you do this?" Lincoln unzipped his pants, dropped his massive penis on the table, and said, "That's why I did it, goddammit."
I don't think that happened. It's a little known fact because it's only known to you.
You need to study your history a little bit better. This is stuff that you don't learn in history. I think I'm going to be a guest on that show here soon, so I can tell more stories like that.
I bet you're not. I bet they won't have you as my guest, but, you know. The plot to kill Lincoln's, to kidnap Lincoln's remains was conceived by some local idiots, Brandy, in 1876. So now he's home.
Judgmental.
Right? He's buried. And he's just buried in a cemetery, Oak Ridge Cemetery in Springfield, Illinois. No protection. And I mean, it's just like a regular, you know, cemetery. But these idiots, when you hear this story, you realize why they're idiots. But anyway, they conceived a plan to steal Lincoln's remains. These would-be body snatchers, Brandy, planned to steal the former president's body and then demand a ransom, which would include a reduced prison sentence for well-known counterfeiter Ben Boyd. Ben Boyd, Brandy, was a notorious engraver. You know, counterfeiting was a real problem in the 19th century. In fact, it was a real problem during the war because, you know, it was undermining the economies, both North and South, right? Because counterfeiters were rampant. So
Lincoln, Ben Boyd.
So Lincoln created the Secret Service to combat counterfeiting. One of the greatest counterfeiters in the country was a guy named Ben Boyd, who was, I guess was just like a one of the greatest engravers and could make money, you know, could make it just like it looked. So, like the real thing. So Lincoln
he was the Mickey Mantle of counterfeiting.
Well, oh my God.
Except Mickey Mantle
die in peace.
And Mickey Mantle wasn't alive then, but yeah, it was before Mickey Mantle, but you're right. But anyway, he was arrested when the Secret Service was established. Then they went after Ben Boyd and they arrested him, and he got a 10-year prison sentence in Joliet, Illinois. So he's sent up the river. Now, so he's serving his time. But, you know, when he went to jail, it interrupted the whole counterfeiting operation, right? Because there was a lot of small-time crooks who depended on Ben Boyd to, you know, to counterfeit money. That's so they could, so they could distribute it, right? So when he went to prison, they were out of business. So a gang of them in 1876 got together to plan to kind of come up with a reason how, or a plan to get Ben Boyd out of prison early. So they.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Could go back to counterfeiting. One of the guy's names was Big Jim Kinley, Brandy. Big Jim. You think they called him Big Jim? Yeah. Think they called him Big Jim because he had a big penis, Brandy?
I bet he was just tall.
Oh. Well, anyway, Big Jim decided he was going to get a group together to break Ben Boyd out of prison. But after researching it, he found out that the prison was guarded and it was not going to be an easy task. He thought about then bribing the guards, but that he tried that. That didn't work out. So he had to come up with a new plan to get Ben Boyd out of prison. And so that is how the plan was developed to kidnap Lincoln's body. So go ahead, Brandy, and tell us.
It seems that they didn't really think this through.
Yeah, they're kind of shocking, but yeah, they're kind of idiots.
This really reminds me of the parable of the three frogs, Timmy.
Okay, Colonel.
Now you've got three frogs sitting on a log, Timmy.
Uh huh.
And one makes
they did a beer commercial, right?
To leap into the pond. Okay. Uh-huh. Now, how many frogs do you have sitting on that log now?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You have three frogs on a log, and one makes the decision to leap into the pond.
You have two.
No, Timmy. No. See, this is an important parable for you.
Okay.
It's a parable about listening.
Uh-huh.
I did not say he leaped into the pond. I said he made the decision to leap into the pond.
Brandy,
leap into the pond.
Brandy, do not jump to conclusions. That's a very good parable.
Listen, don't jump to conclusions, Devil.
That's very
Keep
good
your
parable.
Mind open
Colonel.
To knowledge. Yes, and another one just to help you a little bit. Just you know to what? Help you a little bit, Devil. It's about Zen, Devil, and this is important to you. So a Zen master walks in, and he pours his student a cup of tea, and the student says, What is Zen all about? Tell me about Zen. And the master just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring until the cup's overflowing, just spilling everywhere. And he says, Master, what are you doing? And he says, I'm explaining Zen. And he says, well, I don't understand it. And he said, of course you don't understand it, because much like this cup, you can't understand it until you empty your mind and you're open to other knowledge.
Is that the same one you said a while ago about the coffee? Because that sounded kind of similar.
No, this is tea.
Well, there's a lot with coffee and tea. I never heard so many parables with coffee and tea.
Okay, Brandy, go on with Big Jim Kinley.
So desperate times call for desperate measures. Big Jim decided that the only way the federal government would release Ben Boyd would be if the crooks could offer them something in exchange for his release. Thus, the plot to steal Lincoln's corpse was hatched.
It was hatched, Colonel.
Sounds like a dastardly plan to me, Timmy.
Yes.
To pressure the governor to release his man, Big Jim recruited two members of his gang, Terrence Mullen, a saloon keeper, and Jack Hughes, a sometime manufacturer of counterfeit nickels. That can't be easy.
Who the fuck would make nickels?
I think a half dollar
for fuck's sake.
You probably use more material than you do, you know, than it's worth. Right?
You would think.
Yeah, right, and what are you going to say? Hey, I'll give you, you know, these fake nickels for 4 cents on the nickel. I mean, if you want your profit margins to go up, you got to get up into at least the half dollars, Timmy.
Yeah, I agree.
I can make half dollars in my garage.
Okay,
of course. But go ahead. I digress, Devil.
You're digressing.
All right, so this dumb bastard makes nickels. Let's see, where did I go? All right. For ransom, they would demand $200,000 in cash. That would be a little over $4 million today.
That's a lot of nickels.
And a full pardon for their friend and engraver, Ben Boyd.
Okay, so they not only do they want him released, they want $4 million in cash. So they're not, and they're not messing around.
You know, but if they would have got the $4 million, what would they have needed Ben Boyd to make money for?
Well, they want to keep me, and they want to get back in business with their operation. Yeah, $4 million does not go that far anymore, right, Brandy?
Well, that's true.
Well, that's true.
$4 million is not what it used to be.
Mm. Mm. So, given the cemetery's minimalist approach to security, what the fuck? Cemeteries are not guarded; they're dead.
Yeah, perhaps they should be.
They should be.
The gang actually had a better than even chance of pulling off the heist. The plan was well thought out.
You know, Colonel.
So either they're idiots or it's well thought out. You're going off both ends here,
Colonel. When I think of you, I think of, you know, some men look at the way things are and say why, and you look at things that have never been, Colonel, and still say why or something like that.
Right? I look at Chuck and say why.
Continue, Brandy.
All right. So their plan was to enter Lincoln's tomb under the cover of night, remove his body, carry it hundreds of miles away, bury it, then contact authorities to demand money and a full pardon.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Well, there we go. The kidnappers.
What could go wrong?
Well, the kidnappers would leave an edition of the front page of the Catholic Union and Times published in England inside the tomb. Police would no doubt find the paper, file it away as evidence, and the crooks could use it to assure the police that they were indeed the real kidnappers.
Which That's makes smart, no Colonel. Sense because Lincoln was a Lutheran, Timmy. So why would they put the Catholic Times in that?
Continue, Brandy.
They defiled his grave with the Catholic paper. He's a Lutheran. He would not be happy about that.
I don't think he was religious, was he? I don't think he was religious.
I don't think he was real happy being dead, but you know,
I think the newspaper that they put in his place is the least of Lincoln's problems.
Okay.
Do you think he was unhappy being dead?
I'm pretty sure he was. Of course, Mary Todd was crazy, so, you know, maybe he was happy about it. Their plan was quite elaborate. They would meet in Springfield, steal the body, load it into a wagon.
You think Mary Todd Lincoln stayed fresh, Brandy?
Oh, no, she didn't. She was crazy, Timmy.
So you don't think she stayed fresh?
No. Everybody knows that about Mary Todd Lincoln. That's another thing they don't teach you in history class.
Continue, Brandy, please.
Yeah. All right, so let's see. They would use relays of horses, speed at some 200 miles to the sand dunes bordering the southern tip of Lake Michigan, just southeast of Chicago.
That's where you go for a vacation, isn't it, Colonel? Sand dunes in Michigan?
I do go to the sand dunes of Michigan. I love the sand dunes of Michigan. Well, it's not a more beautiful place in the world to me.
Well, that's where they was going to bury Lincoln's body while he was on the lam.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be easy to dig up there. And if the wind blows real good, you just got an exposed Lincoln body there.
Mm. Continue, Brandy.
All right. They would bury the body, carefully triangulating the site against permanent landmarks so that they could find it again. And then wait for the government to meet their demands.
Well, they didn't have GPS back then.
Well, so after weeks of intensive planning, everything was set for the heist of the century. But they made a significant mistake. Nobody had body snatching experience. Well, I feel like, you know.
It's hard to come by. I mean, that's very specific.
There's not a body snatching school.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a very specific skill set.
Well,
and you don't really snatch a body that old, Timmy. You lift it carefully. That's a misnomer. It should be body lifting. Because you snatch a body like that, it just comes to pieces, crumbles all up in your hands.
Yeah, he's got a point, Brandy. He's got a point.
I guess. They invited a guy named Lewis Sweggles, who they thought was a grave robber, to help. But they made a really bad choice because Swiggles was a paid informant of the Secret Service. He played his part as double agent well, reporting every detail of the plot to his boss, Patrick D. Terrell, chief of the Chicago District Office of the Secret Service. On the night of November 7th, 1876, Lewis accompanied Mullen and Hughes to Oak Ridge Cemetery. Terrell and his agent were lying in wait for them at Lincoln's tomb, witnesses for the comedy of errors that soon began. So although these two dipshits, Mullen and Hughes, were career criminals, they couldn't pick a lock. Seriously?
Well.
They couldn't pick a lock?
I don't know.
Those kids who have an egg for a baby, and at the end of the day, or end of the week, only one of them's got the egg.
Yeah.
But no, they're not like that at all. They can't pick a lock.
They're just like that, Randy.
Yes,
they're not like that. They're not like that at all. How are you criminals and you can't pick a lock?
Well,
I mean, Jesus Christ. All right, so they had to cut through the padlock with a file.
I thought you was talking about a rock, devil. I'm sorry.
No, a lock. Jesus.
Never mind.
Once inside the tomb chamber, they found they couldn't lift Lincoln's 500-pound cedar and lead coffin. Really, guys?
Well, that's pretty heavy, Brandy. You have to admit that.
Well, that's fine. You know, Jesus Christ. While trying in vain to lift the heavy coffin, it shifted, slamming into Terrace Mullen's knee, making him cry out in pain.
Ooh.
That probably When Jack Hughes tried to help his friend, the coffin shifted again, landing on Jack's foot, breaking three toes. Now it was Jack Hughes' turn to scream out in terrible agony.
This seems like a painful plan.
Yeah, it wasn't well thought out, I don't think.
These did not, you know what, here's the biggest problem. I think they chose their partners poorly, Timmy, in this whole thing. I mean, When you're doing something, and this is a lesson I want to teach you, Devil. If you would just listen here, It reminds me much of the parable of the mouse, the frog, and the hawk.
Yeah, now, you know that one, right? No, let me tell you something. I haven't combed my hair in 2 days. You think I'm in the mood to listen to your bullshit?
But this is important, Devil. It's important.
It's not.
This can change your life, Devil.
It's important.
No, a mouse who'd always lived on the land, he one day he comes into a frog, and this frog's intent on mischief.
So wait a minute, he comes into a frog?
He runs into a frog, and this frog is not the most well-meaning like other frogs.
So I like the other story better.
To capture the mouse. And he does. He ties a little mouse to his foot.
Well, if the mouse came inside him, you might want to hang on to him in case you get pregnant.
Now listen, this is important. It's about choosing your friends carefully, Devil.
I have done a piss poor job of that, clearly.
I know, and I'm trying to change that. So he ties a little mouse to his frog.
You're trying to change it? I could hang up this call and change it.
And he takes the mouse everywhere he goes. And then one day he jumps into the pond.
So now they're a couple.
Mice aren't great at swimming, but he's tied to the frog's foot, and he's sputtering and he's choking and he's.
How did he tie him? Can the frogs don't have thumbs? How did he tie him to his foot?
They got little fingers. Now listen to me here.
With what? What did he use? What kind of knot did he use? What kind
of
rope did they have?
You don't need.
I don't understand. Well, I feel like grass is easily breakable. Like he didn't have a little piece
this
of string.
This is why
or something
I got
around
two parables, Devil, because you don't understand basic things. So the
I don't
frog,
understand how I'm still back on the mouse came in the frog. That's all I'm saying.
Came to the frog.
It feels like the logistics
the
of all that
came upon a frog.
I feel like the logistics of that are messed up because the frog wouldn't he just slip off the frog?
Are you going to try to learn, Devil? Are you going to try?
No,
see, this is your
I'm
problem.
Actually not.
Try to learn.
I'm actually well, not going to try and learn. What I'm trying to learn
you
is about these grave robbers.
Well,
and you
this,
won't
it,
let
this
me.
Is about choosing your friends carefully.
Again, I've done a horrible job at that.
The body.
No, if they had, you know, well, they have thumbs. They could have tied somebody to them, I guess.
Okay.
But listen, the frog has no thumbs.
Right now, our listeners are on the edge of their seat wanting to hear about this frog and this mouse.
They're not. Well,
I
want to hear more about why the mouse thought it was a good idea to come inside the frog.
He came upon the frog.
Oh, so he pulled out. So he pulled out.
Rhythm method.
So
then came up on him.
Jumps into
the frog. Slide right off. Gross.
They're swimming around. The mouse drowns.
Now, well, that would weigh the frog down.
Now, remember,
that frog
attached to the frog.
Should just cut bait. They should have just cut bait. I mean, it's a blade of grass. It could just break that.
As he was getting ready to do that, do you know what happened? A hawk swooped down, grabbed a mouse, but the mouse was still tied to the frog, and the hawk ate the mouse and the frog. And you know what the lesson in that parable is?
Well,
is
the hawk should have just got out his pocket knife and cut that off.
Wisely.
He's got a good point, Brandy.
Well, the frog,
you can't teach this girl anything.
Again, the frog could have just got out his pocket knife and split that. Just cut the rope.
That's ridiculous.
It seems to me like
the
frog is stupid.
That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
Is it? Because I just sat through this bullshit story about a mouse coming on a frog, and then all of a sudden the frog has thumbs and tied himself to the mouse to drag this mouse all over the place, and then they fall in love. Or become some kind of buddy cop show, and then all of a sudden they're flying through the air, and the frog with no thumbs is still tied to this fucking mouse. It's fucking dumb. I'm done with your stories. Can we get to these idiots?
Yeah,
please,
please Randy. Please, continue.
If you would just quit ranting on and do it, yeah.
So, Terrell and his officers lay in wait.
Both of them. It's choosing your friends wisely is what it's about.
But I don't understand what that has to do with choosing friends, because if I'm with the two of you and you're my
friend, and we get
stranded somewhere, I will eat both of you. I will eat both of you. You've got more meat on you, so you would go first, and Tim and I would feast on your bones. I'm just letting you know. Yes, he would. If we're in a Donner situation, absolutely. Absolutely.
Continue, Brandy. Continue with the story.
All right, so Terrell and his officers lay in wait just outside the tomb. Mm-hmm. When one of the officers heard the men's cry, he attempted to pull his revolver from his latched holster. The pistol went off inside the holster, shooting the officer in the shin.
Ooh.
See, there's Mo. We have Larry, Curly, and now Mo.
Well, so he shot himself in the shin. So these guys heard the gunshots and the officer scream, and it startled them because, duh. Mullen and Hughes slowly bolted, but it wasn't much of a getaway. They ran into the darkness, limping and screaming in pain. However, well, wait a minute, but here's the best part.
I would love to see that.
They were able to outrun Terrell's men.
Well, goddamn, yeah, because they were shooting themselves in the thigh.
Shin. And it seems that in the darkness and confusion, the officers captured themselves. So they got that going.
So it was a Keystone Cop type of deal.
Yeah. So, all right, let's see. But they didn't get the Brave Robbers.
No sense.
Choose your friends carefully, Brandy. So it's like the hawk and the mouse.
Yeah, whatever. Hawk and the fucking mouse. I'm telling you. But the grave robbers didn't get far. They went straight back to their local saloon where they licked their wounds and told every patron who would listen about their daring attempt. Well, good thing they're keeping it low key. Jack Hughes's dumbass went to a local doctor to get treated for his broken toes and told the doctor of his foiled attempt to kidnap Lincoln's body. The doctor immediately reported it to the police, and Officer Terrell arrested Mullins and Hughes a couple days later. Once captured, Big Jim, Terrence Mullins, and Jack Hughes received modest one-year sentences for extortion and served their time with their friend Ben Boyd in Joliet State Prison.
Well, at least
and you know what they was probably on?
What?
A chain gang, just like the mouse and the frog.
Okay, now. So it was the plot was foiled, Brandy, is what you're telling us, basically.
Basically, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Jesus, this is like Batman. Meanwhile, back in Springfield, the custodian of the tomb, John Carroll Power, was in a state of panic. If hapless amateurs could come so close to carrying off Lincoln's body, what would happen if a professional body snatcher targeted the tomb? There's a profession that you need to get into.
Well, you know, they were popular back in the day because they would steal bodies and sell them to medical schools, you know, that needed cadavers.
Sure.
Not Lincoln's body, of course, because that was, you know, different. But, I mean, it could happen. So they were professional grave robbers.
Yeah. It was a thing, Devil.
It was a
thing.
You
ever open a book? Do you know anything about this era?
Anyway, continue, Brandy. Don't listen to him. I know you. You're a very smart lady. Continue, please.
She's smart. How did she get a college degree, Timmy?
Well, that's pretty smart. I mean, you know,
it's
brains.
It's, I'm not sure it was a brains. It was you. But go ahead, Devil. Continue.
Yeah, not all of us can have two high school diplomas.
That's right. God damn it.
Continue.
The only solution Power could think of was to hide the body where no one would find it. So after dark, Power and five friends buried Lincoln in a shallow, unmarked grave in the tomb's basement. Why does the tomb have a basement?
In case of floods? In case there's a tornado?
In case is it fortified? I don't... Like, the tomb should be... Okay.
In case Dracula happens upon it, needs a place to stay for the night.
Yes.
Oh, well... Power made the men kinky swear on their code of honor never to divulge where Lincoln's body was buried.
Yes.
None of the men who buried the coffin that night had known Lincoln, had known him how, that he was president. And, like, seriously? Like, okay. Yeah. They were all ordinary guys. One was a railroad ticket agent. Another was a hotel keeper. And a third worked as a bank clerk. Yet it had fallen on them to safeguard the remains of Abraham Lincoln, and they took that obligation seriously, swearing, crossing their heart and hoping to die, never to reveal the location of the martyred president's body. In the years that followed, they kept that secret faithfully. Only Lincoln's family was made aware of the body's location. Lincoln's coffin traveled to a number of secret locations in the following years, with the coffin open to confirm that Lincoln's body remained inside twice.
between 1876 and 1887. In 1801, under instructions from Robert Lincoln, the president's only surviving child, Lincoln's body was placed inside a steel cage, lowered into a 10-foot deep vault, and buried under tons of wet concrete. Jesus Christ. Construction of the present tomb took 15 months, and during that time, Mr. Lincoln's coffin was in a temporary grave a few feet away. In May of 1901, Robert Lincoln visited the tomb and decided things needed to be changed again. This guy's a peckerhead. Robert didn't want a repeat of the body-snatching attempt by Big Jim and his gang. So that's why he had decided about the 10-foot deep encased in concrete. Mm-hmm. Harry Houdini, Superman's not getting out thing here. Yeah. So did he not want people getting in, or did he not want his dad getting out? That is the question.
No, I think he didn't want people to steal the body.
Well,
that is
Charles.
But yes. You know, Abraham Lincoln was a vampire killer. So.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. Continue.
Now, Timmy, after all this, mm-hmm. you have to imagine the coffin in this cage was harder than me looking at pictures of Cody DiPablo on the internet.
Yes.
It was just a solid block of rock. Now, Robert's idea for this had come from the burial procedure employed by George Pullman, inventor of the Pullman sleeping car.
Yeah, that guy was loaded. He had a lot of dough.
They'd also been concerned about grave robbers, and on September 26, 1901, Timmy, all was ready.
Ought.
Now, because of the permanency of this burial, a discussion arose amongst those present as to whether the coffin should be opened. Now, some people said he should just be left alone. Some people said we need to verify that he's actually in there. So, they called two plumbers, Timmy.
Wow. Who else are you going to call, Brandy?
Yeah, who else are you going to call? So, Leon and Charles Wiley. Now, also viewing the body was Leon's 13-year-old nephew, Fleetwood Lindley.
Fleetwood, Brandy.
There's a name.
Later if his on, last name was Mac, he could start a band.
That's he right. Could. That's where Fleetwood Mac came from. Lindley Buckingham started with Fleetwood Mac. So Charles Wiley of the famous Wiley Coyote family slowly chiseled an oblong piece out of the top of the lead-lined coffin. The piece these two men cut out was just over his head and shoulders. When the casket was open, a harsh, choking vaginal penis smell arose. Decaying penis.
Oh man, I bet that would smell, Brandy.
Oh yeah.
Did you see
Lincoln, remember? 23 people walked forward and peered down.
How many people?
23, Timmy. 23. Okay. Lincoln's features were totally recognizable. His face had a melancholy expression because he was fucking dead.
Yeah, I thought the embalmer made him smile. Didn't we say that?
You know, shit changes when you're dead.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that.
And he probably got pissed.
His whiskers hadn't changed at all.
Because they tried to kidnap him, he got mad and was melancholy.
Yeah, I think he just got pissed that he kept being moved. Fucker can't get any sleep.
But he was covered in yellow mold.
Yellow mold, Brandy.
And there was a bit of red fabric, and that might have been the remnants of the American flag buried with him. But they were all unanimous in their agreement that the remains were indeed of those of Abraham Lincoln. Mm. After viewing the body, the oblong piece was then soldered back into place. The coffin was lowered into the cage. 4,000 pounds of cement were poured down the cage and casket, and Lincoln lies 10 feet beneath the floor of his tomb, that's visited by more than 1 million people a year. So if North Korea does decide to lob a bunch of nukes over here, you know who will survive, Timmy? Lincoln's corpse.
Hmm.
Wow. As one of
and
the
my
people,
grandmother's corpse.
Yes.
Because I can't believe she died.
Your grandma?
Mean old lady.
Well, but
I thought she'd live forever.
Is she cremated?
No.
You see, I don't want to get, right? I thought about getting cremated, but now I'm thinking in case I could become a zombie. So I don't know if I think I want to hold off.
Right. Well, see, there goes Chuck and mine's trip, because we were going to make a trip to go scatter your ashes somewhere.
Yeah, but I want to be a zombie. I can't be a zombie if I'm cremated.
Okay. It was going to be our Thelma and Louise moment. I guess
we're going to have to chop him up into pieces and just make the trip and scatter his pots, devil.
Well, I'm sure his girlfriend will do that.
I want a funeral train procession, regardless. Just make sure that happens.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. Devil, are we even in charge of his burial anymore, or have we been replaced?
No, you're in charge of it. You're in charge of it. But I want a funeral train procession across the country, like three times. Just like, well, you know, when Forrest Gump ran all over the country, that's the path I want to take. I want to follow Forrest Gump's trail.
You want to follow Forrest Gump's path?
Yes.
Huh. All right. We can do that.
So, Colonel, you have any, is there any more to this story?
There is. One of the people who viewed the body was a man named J.C. Thompson. And in 1928, he said, as I came up, I saw the top knot of Mr. Lincoln.
His hair. Wouldn't that have been cool to see that? Wouldn't it have been cool, Brandy?
Oh, well, yeah. But no.
And he described something that wasn't clear on, and he said it was like a horse's. I'm not really sure what he was referring to. No,
he did not say that.
Apparently he was talking about his hair being coarse and thick. Okay, that was just to clear that up. When I saw him, I knew that it was Lincoln. Anyone who had ever seen pictures had known it was him. His features had not decayed. He looked like a statue of himself lying there. And of all the 23 people who viewed the remains have long since passed away. The last one was Fleetwood Lindsay Mack.
Fleetwood,
in 1963.
Jesus Christ. How old was he?
Well, he was a kid in 1901, right? That was 1901. Yeah. So I was alive. Colonel, you were alive when he was alive. So the last, so there's a 6 degree of separation, Brandy, because the Colonel and I were alive the same time as Fleetwood, and Fleetwood had saw Lincoln's remains. So
you guys are like family.
We're related to Lincoln or something.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Yes.
So Denley had to say, yes, his face was chalky white. His clothes were mildewed. And we were waiting for the concrete to be poured, but I was not scared at the time. I slept with Mr. Lincoln for the next 6 months.
I didn't say that. But,
no,
you know,
he had him in the body.
Oh, okay. So he had him in his dreams.
So
he saw him in his
dreams. 75. Yeah.
Okay.
So he was 75 when he died, 13 when he viewed the body. He'd been the only child to do so. Now, the duty of protecting the former president's body was assumed by the Secret Service, which Lincoln put into place after he got shot. Right, that was one of Lincoln's last acts.
No, he did it before he got shot.
He was like, you know what?
He didn't do all the
idea is if we had guards protecting the president.
he did do a lot of work after he was shot, Colonel.
that was his last executive action. Let's get a Secret Service. A couple guys with guns standing around the president so these lunatic motherfuckers can't keep shooting me. So,
that's fascinating, Colonel. So, Lincoln's... Well, so, his chair is in Ford's
Museum.
It's
in Ford's Theater up in Detroit. Dearborn, Michigan.
Nice.
Yes. And, you know, Lincoln getting the Secret Service always reminded me, Timmy, of... the parable of the stone in the pond, to me.
What parable was that, Colonel?
Well, there's a master, a teacher, and a student walks up to him. It's a beautiful day, and he's sitting on edge of the pond. He throws a rock into the pond, and it creates all kinds of ripples. And then the master tells the student, stop those ripples.
Why are all these masters and students in parables?
And he puts his hand in to try to stop him, but he only creates more ripples.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I do not understand. And he says, see, the key is to not let the rock
stupid.
The key is to not let the rock hit the pond. take care of your business before bad things happen. Much like Lincoln should have got the Secret Service to protect him before bad things happened to him. And you know my favorite parable, Timmy, about preventing bad things.
And he can well, come
my favorite. These rafters are on the thing, and they see a little baby come floating down the river needing help, right? Mm-hmm. So they help the baby. Then about 5 minutes later, they see a little baby.
Sounds like Moses.
And they help the baby again, and it's another baby. And then after about the fourth baby, a guy says, you know what? I got a plan. I'm going to go stand out in the middle of this river and stop all the babies that are coming down, grab them so we don't have to keep running out. And then another guy says, you know what? I got a better plan. I'm going to go upstream and see what motherfucker's throwing these babies into the river.
Is that the parable?
I've got a parable. Prevention, Timmy. Announcing prevention.
I've got a parable.
Okay, Brian.
I have one.
Okay.
One day I was sitting at home on a Sunday morning, and then I had to listen to Chuck run his fucking dick sucker for an hour and a half. And then I went out and walked into traffic. So thank you very much. And the moral of that story is don't waste your Sunday mornings listening to Chuck yammer on about parables.
Well, Brandy, I'm sorry, but that don't make any sense to me.
Does that make sense? Got any sense? Not a goddamn bit of sense. A parable is supposed to teach somebody
all,
a lesson. Tim, devil.
It makes
you
perfect
been
sense
listening
to you.
To a goddamn thing I said all day. It's
oh my God!
Untrainable. You know what?
It's Wait a minute! It's you're like somebody, fucking right. Yeah, I haven't been listening to a goddamn thing you've said.
If you
and that's how I stay happy
something.
And get through my day.
If you would just listen to us, now help us help you is all what I'm saying.
All right,
help
we would
help you.
We would like to thank all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon. We really appreciate it. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or Colonel.
Or just a wee little bit.
Yes. And now the Colonel is going to thank all the wonderful people who support us on Patreon.
That's right. Jim Seabright, Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Malachi, Terry Stratford, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Sabota, Per Westman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kinney, Hiro, The Comeback Podcast, L.K. Barnett, Anu, Reen, Marissa Albanese, Bridget Clavey, who we miss dearly.
Yes.
Phyllis Munson, the lovely and beautiful Jennifer Riker Smith from Texas.
Yes.
And speaking of handsome and lovely, Stephen Potts.
Yes.
Anna Garrett, Ben Dubrovich, Ursula, Clark, and Diane. You know, Diane's been really rough on me in that group here lately. Timmy, she calls me out on everything.
On the Facebook
group. Clark and Diane Trowbridge, yeah.
If you would like to join our Facebook group, please join us at Facebook. History Dweebs, the podcast. Charlene Negrin, too, Colonel. You missed her again.
No, I got her last week.
All right. Continue.
And you can, if you join the Facebook group, you can rail on Chuck too.
Yes.
It's amazing.
And you can learn more of his parables.
Yes. Mm. Michelle Jones, who is very talented. We
found made
out.
Me a sweater.
Yes.
She sent you that sweater. That's beautiful.
I was wearing it really, yesterday or very Friday.
Good. People don't send me clothes. People send you clothes, Colonel?
They don't, Timmy.
Hmm.
They don't. They don't. Now, I sometimes get panties in the mail. You know,
continue,
like that, but I mean,
continue.
And then he wears them. You ordering Aaron them from Victoria's Secret don't count.
Michelle Johns, Margaret McDonald, Jess, the lovely, lovely Leanne Flanagan, who
is in France is right now.
She's in France.
What, does she have a job? Know, she travels a lot.
I always wondered that. She does a lot.
Yeah, she has a job.
But you know what I think her job is? And
what?
I think she blew up.
Traveling?
I think she's an agent for MI6.
Hmm.
Have you ever noticed she's always in different countries, Timmy? And then always pretending, oh, I'm just innocent tourist walking
around. She's being in a pair for her brother in France this week.
Oh, is she now?
Yeah.
Okay, but, well,
but she's a hairstylist, Brandy.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I will have to fly to England to get my hair cut then.
You're not allowed in the country. Continue, Colonel.
That's true.
Do you have enough hair to cut?
Mike Sadler, Jamie mm-hmm. Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson. They, of course, they walk among us podcast. Lorna Violet, Michael Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Callie Jones, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown from The Pleasing Terror, Sarah Bloom, Amber Riley, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edgerton, History Goes Bump, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise Lahara Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Marquia Smith, Jeff and Dom, our favorite doctor, and Dawn is a medical professional herself, a very yes. highly well-known nurse. Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, Shelly Garrett. We ain't saying anything nice about Shelly because she's quite mean to me lately.
Shelly, I really like your podcast, but you should dump the funny guy, funny talking guy.
Carol Elise, Kristen Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, the Context and Clarity podcast. Timmy, that's
another fine one by Karen. Yes, but dump the other guy. Continue.
Yeah, the guy brings her down.
Mm.
Paula and Christy Lee from Canadian True Crime. Charlie,
like
from Angela
like
Santos.
The mouse tied to the frog.
Yeah. Lydia.
Yeah. Choose your co-host carefully, Karen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams, Ron Monastero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl Weldon, Veronica Moreno, Chris Lane, Alexandra, Elaine Baker, Vivian Baca, Mark and Chi, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith, who I found out, I said it was Irish last time, I found out she's Scottish, so I apologize for that.
She's from Cincinnati too, right?
She's not far from my house at all, so if I say anything wrong, she might show up and kill me, Timmy.
Okay.
Robin Sherrod, and she has just an adorable dog, Harley. She's just great Rottweiler she's got there. Ruth Whitfield, Cassie Kitchens, Nick Johnson, Natasha Burgess, Julia Bentley, Patty Schmidt, the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Lady Beverly. She's the one that classes up this whole show.
Yes.
You know that.
Yes.
Let's see. We got Rudy the Wonder Dog, Timmy. The world's mm-hmm. most dangerous canine, Timmy.
Yes.
And the woman, I'm sorry, Dottie, there was only one body in here, one dead body, but there was a lot of theft and a lot of shenanigans involved, so hopefully that worked for you. But the lovely Dottie Scott, Timmy.
Yes. Thank you, Mom. Thank all of you for listening, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Good day.
Good day.
Okay, check. You'll send that to me.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.